A very good morning on behalf of Teach 6:13. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Bechoros Lamed Zayin. Bechoros 37a. Pagination is 73. We'll start at the Mishnah about a quarter of the way down. Hashochet es habechor. A person shecht a firstborn kosher animal. V'noda shalo hireyu. And after he distributed the meat, it turns out that he didn't show it to the expert to get authorization to shecht it. And therefore, the food is on the market illicitly, and the money that he took is improper. Masha achlu achlu, what they ate is eaten, done deal. V'yachsulem adamim, but they still get a refund for that. And that's a knas, even though they benefited, even though they ate. There's a knas, a fine levied against the seller, for selling this improperly, he's going to have to refund the money. Umasha lo achlu, and that meat, which was not yet eaten, habasa yikaver, the meat will get buried, not supposed to have benefit from it. V'yachzer es hadamim, and on that as well, he's going to return the money. So what we have over here is that non-kosher meat was put on the market, and because it was done with negligence, or maybe even with intent, we're going to levy a fine against the seller, and even if the food was consumed, and therefore the people, on some level, had benefit, we could argue it's a done deal, he's still going to have to refund the money. V'chena shochet es haparah. And similarly, if a person shecht an animal, umachra, and then sold it, v'noda shi treifa, and now we're informed that it's treif. Masha achlu achlu, what they ate is eaten, and according to many, we insert the words here, v'yachzer es hadamim, and he's going to have to refund the money. This is talking that he knew it was treif at the time that he sold it. Umasha lo achlu, and what was not eaten, they returned the meat, it's still available, and he'll return the money, and he has the right to sell it on the non-kosher market. If the buyer didn't use it for himself, he gave it to a non-Jew, he sold it to a non-Jew, or he gave it to dogs, they don't have to eat kosher, Yishalmu d'mei treifa, then it turns out that it's treif, so he only should have paid the treif market value, and therefore that is a refund that is due him, whereas had it been kosher, so it was his choice to take kosher meat and sell it to a non-Jew, but the amount that was less, since that really was its market value because it wasn't kosher, that amount is due him and can be refunded. There's much discussion in both Yoredea Kuf Yates and Choshen Mishpat Reish Lamed Dalid regarding this case, both in the context of kashrus and in the context of false representation in sales, and a discussion of whether this would matter if it's a prohibition that's rabbinic or biblical. There's an interesting statement from the Sma in Choshen Mishpat Reish Lamed Dalid Dalid, who writes, Dafka b'michshol d'isa d'oraisa konsuhu, that this fine, according to one approach, is only by a prohibition that is biblical. Had it been rabbinic and the people ate already, so they don't require tshuva because they did so in innocence, and he's the one with the problem. Another approach, though, is ein achilas ha'uchel mechashev lo hana. After the person finds out about the prohibition that was involved, retroactively, he didn't have any enjoyment in the overall value here. His conscience bothers him so much. He's so troubled by the event that the food benefit that he had at the time that he ate it is counterbalanced by the enormous anguish that he has now, finding out that he ate something that was non-kosher. And these two approaches can be brought to bear on different cases that might come up. There's a fascinating case brought in the series What If, based on the Svarim of Rav Zilberstein, in volume 2 of What If, page 212, there's a case of a caterer whose chulent went bad Friday night, and he actually cooked malacha d'oraisa, biblical prohibitions, on Shabbos because he wanted to save face and not report that there would be no chulent the next morning. What's interesting about it is that although the caterer is doing a malacha d'oraisa, the prohibition to eat from a malacha d'oraisa is derabanan. Alternatively, if the case would have been that he would have asked a non-Jew to do the malacha for him, then you're dealing with Amira La'akum and Bishul Akum, perhaps, unless the fires were still going. You might be dealing with a derabanan. According to the second reasoning of the Sma, the people, when they find out that blatant Chilul Shabbos was done, they don't have any hana from that chulent. They're fuming from it. And they're not such lamdonim to know whether the isser they did is deraisa, derabona. It makes no difference. There's no hana. But according to the first reason, they were not nichshol in an isser deraisa. They ate food of his isser deraisa. The isser on them is derabonon. Would you have to pay for this food? Would the Baal Simcha have to pay for this food? In the conclusion of the piece, in the What If, based on the writings of Rav Zilberstein, he writes that in this case he thinks there would be a knas on the caterer either way, because even though it was only a derabonon on the people who ate, but an issur d'oraisa did occur intentionally, and he thinks that the entire amount would have to be refunded, even though it was consumed, regardless of which approach we use in understanding the reason for the refund. Yasher Koach, thank you for joining.